Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 112. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we come before you now, we pray that you will pour upon us your spirit and the ability to hear your words as they are spoken. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke Chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is one of my favorite passages. It's one that I think we all enjoy. This is Jesus' visit to the home of Martha and Mary. Hear now the word of the Lord. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Well, can't you just hear Jesus? "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." During the course of my life, I have known Martha. I have known many Marthas, women and men, young and old. And in fact, I have been Martha. The Marthas of the world are important. They get things done. They wake up in the morning and they have an agenda. Their to-do lists are always full, and they become known as people who can be trusted and relied upon. They are asked to join committees and to organize fundraisers and to coordinate all kinds of events. In our modern vernacular, they have the ability to multitask. They can be doing many things at once, and people come to recognize that unique skill. So yes, Martha is an important person in our world. She keeps things moving when some of the rest of us want to sit and have that extra cup of coffee in the morning, when we want to sit on the porch and watch the world go by, when we want to curl up in our favorite chair, hoping that the phone doesn't ring. There is room in our world for both Mary and Martha. But as we contemplate which one we can best identify with, the question becomes, who would we most want to be if Jesus came for a visit? How would we want to react if suddenly we discovered that Jesus is in our presence. Are we willing to take time to sit at his feet and listen to what he has to teach us? Are we willing to simply take time to be with Jesus? Our scripture passage today involves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is not mentioned in this particular passage, but we know the family from other accounts in the Bible. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are siblings who live together in the same house in the small village of Bethany. Now, Bethany is located about 2 miles from Jerusalem, behind the Mount of Olives. And we know that Jesus was good friends with this family, and he visited their home on more than one occasion. We know that Martha owned the home, and so we assume that she was the oldest sister. We know that Jesus was more than just a visiting rabbi, but that he was a good, close friend. We know this from the account of Lazarus's death in the Gospel of John, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We know from that account that Jesus loved that family. So you see, when Jesus was coming to dinner at the home of Martha and Mary, these were not just casual acquaintances. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he was filled with wisdom and hope, and they knew that he held the key to resurrection and eternal life. And even so, in her humanness, Martha allowed herself to become distracted by all of the busyness of her life. Jesus was coming to dinner, and Martha was going to plan and prepare for this time for their special friend. The meal had to be special. So we can imagine Martha going to the market the day before in order to get all of the freshest food that would be available. She may have found some fresh fish that had been brought in from the Jordan River, and dates and pomegranates and figs and raisins and nuts and the finest wines that she could find. What a shopping spree there might have been. Let's try to imagine what the next day would look like. Let's imagine from our own context the way that we might prepare for the arrival of Jesus for dinner. Martha was probably a flurry of activity, busy cleaning the house and the yard before she began to prepare the feast for Jesus. She set the table with her finest, bringing out her brass menorah to make a candlelight dinner and using her favorite pottery ware. It was the time of arrival, and Jesus knocked on the door, and everyone was so excited. They laughed and shouted, and Jesus commented on how clean and prepared the house was, and Martha was pleased. Jesus sat down on a pillow in the front room and started to teach. Being a rabbi and all, he started to talk about God and love and the importance of relationship. And soon, Martha was out in the kitchen, so busy, so focused on her last-minute preparations, and she was irritated when she couldn't hear the conversation between Jesus and her younger sister, who had just plopped herself down at Jesus' feet. So Martha started sending signals to her sister, we can imagine. Maybe she was banging pots and pans so that Mary would get the hint that she needed help. But it didn't work. Mary just sat there. So Martha walked into the living room to serve the hors d'oeuvres, perhaps, the wine and the cheese and crackers. And as she walked by Mary, she gave her that eyeball roll in the direction of the kitchen. But Mary just sat there at Jesus' feet, hanging on his every word. And so Martha lost it. It just came out. She was frustrated and overwhelmed with all of the work that she was doing. And Mary was choosing to sit and listen to Jesus. How dare she? She was being a typical little sister, and it was time to say something. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Indeed, Mary had chosen what is better. She had chosen to listen to what Jesus had to say. She was learning from his teaching. She was growing in her relationship with him, and she was finding that all of the fuss over dinner seemed very unimportant at that moment. She was establishing her priorities in life, and taking time to be with Jesus had risen to the top of the list. We are told that this story was told over and over again in the early church because it was a story that everyone could relate to. And it's true today. We can all see ourselves as Martha, even though we say we want to be more like Mary. The difference is Mary did it. She blocked out all of the noise of busyness around her, and she sat at Jesus' feet. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to put in a good word for Martha. She has become a symbol of action-oriented people, responsible people, men and women who get the job done. We need Marthas in the church and in the family and in our lives. How would the church survive if it weren't for those who tirelessly take care of the details, who organize the events, who teach the Sunday school, who sing in the choir, who pay the bills, who shop for supplies, who serve on the session and make the decisions that keep the church healthy? And it's true for the family as well. There needs to be a healthy dose of Martha in the day-to-day routine of family. There needs to be the taking of responsibility for the running of the household, the earning of an income, the keeping the cars running, and of course, the raising of children. Getting the children up in the morning, getting them fed, getting them to school, getting them to activities, and spending time just loving the children. Yes, it all takes a healthy dose of Martha. She is an important part of this story. But in the midst of all that, and in the midst of all that Martha has to do, she too needs to take a moment to be more like Mary. She needs to recognize that sitting at Jesus' feet is not a waste of time. Being quiet in his presence, listening to his voice, and trying to learn from his teachings is not only important, but as Jesus put it, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so in the world that we live in today, may we all recognize when Martha is having too much of an influence on our lives. Let us pray that God will make it abundantly clear when we need to listen instead of acting. May we have the self-discipline to stop what we are doing and turn to the example of Mary, who chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Yes, on this day, may we take time to sit and listen to what Jesus teaches us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As an act of our faith this morning, let us now go to the Lord's table and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom, you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forever. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus was at table with his disciples. He took bread and blessed it, and then he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Because as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon these your gifts, the gifts of bread and the cup. And we pray that you will use these gifts to renew our faith in you. We pray, Lord, that we will be inspired to show your love, your true love, to the world around us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, today we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper by intinction, which means you come forward, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and remember Jesus Christ. Remember the sacrifice that he made. This is the table of the Lord. All who believe in Jesus are welcome at this table. Please come to the table.
Anyone needs gluten-free, I have it.
Let us pray. Lord, on this holy occasion, we do bow humbly as we recognize the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to celebrate this Lord's Supper, to celebrate it in freedom. Lord, we pray that you will continue to remind us throughout the week, throughout our busy lives, that indeed it is because of you that we can have hope for the future. Lord, this morning we do remember those who are in need of your care, your comfort, and your protection. We do lift up to you those who are facing the ravages of nature in the form of a hurricane and all that comes with it. We pray for those who are in the Bahamas and in our own country, in Florida and the Carolinas, all of those who may be facing distress and strong winds and devastating storms and rain. Lord, we just pray that you will be with them, protect them. And Lord, we do recognize that it is your power that gives us the ability to face natural disasters, because we know that there is no power greater than you. Lord, we do lift up to you those who are in need of healing. We lift up to you little Elijah Harmon. We pray, Lord, that as he recovers from his surgery and now endures chemotherapy and radiation, that even through all of that, that he will feel your presence and will continue to have the joy and the hope that every little boy should have. We just pray, Lord, that you will bless him and his family. And we do pray for his complete and total healing. Lord, we thank you for all of the progress that we have seen in Donna Slusher as she continues to recuperate from her serious accident. We thank you, Lord, that she is now back in our community and that she is able to be visited by her friends and family. And Lord, we pray for continued healing, and we pray that you will continue to comfort her family and keep them free of worry. And Lord, we lift up to you the family of Jean Hartman. We lift up Lori Peek and her family as they mourn the death of her father. We pray that you will give them peace and comfort. And Lord, we just thank you for all of the ways that you continue to bless us as we prepare next Sunday to begin a new church year. We pray that you will bless this church even in ways that we have not yet experienced. We pray for a renewal of our spiritual health and strength. And Lord, we just pray that you will use us, help us to be a beacon of light in our community. So Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one that we look to with hope, the one who is our Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now join together in the giving of our gifts back to God. Let us respond to God's word through giving our gifts to Him.